If Al's in there.
She will come through this.
We don't even know what this is.
Alicia. This isn't all on you.
Yes, it is. That's what we decided at the River Mill. I'd keep everyone safe. You'd handle the rest.
Yeah, we didn't decide that. You did. But we all got on the plane. We all came here. And we'll all do whatever it takes to find Al.
Welcome to Fear Me.
Hi, I'm Kim.
Stuart.
And Scott.
Welcome to the Fear Me podcast. This is episode 145. Hi, guys.
Hi, how's Kimmy. It going, Kim?
How are you?
Fantastic.
We have a special guest tonight, don't we?
We do. Sitting Who? Right next to us.
Ah, all the way from Scotland.
Yep.
It's our.
She came on the red eye.
That's right. It's our niece, Reagan. How are you, Reagan?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, good. You ready to do some podcasting?
Yeah, I'm totally experienced with this. That's,
I hear they do a lot of podcasting in Scotland.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
It's a very easy language to understand.
Yes, and, totally. And Reagan, are you a big Fear of the Walking Dead fan?
Never seen it before.
There you go. Okay.
Have you ever seen The Walking Dead?
Nope.
Okay. Awesome.
Perfect. You should be able to really contribute tonight.
Yes.
Have you ever seen Ride with Norman Reedus?
No.
Okay. Hey.
And have you ever listened to our podcast before? No.
No.
Wow.
Have you ever thrown down a man into the mud and kicked him in the head with an iron boot? No, never
oh,
mind.
Done that,
never.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Perfect.
Good.
Okay.
Good. Okay.
This is a game of have you ever. Okay. Excellent. All right, so what are you drinking, Scott?
I am drinking a new one I found called Edmund's. Oh, it's from Edmund's Oast Brewery, and it's called Singular. It's a session IPA. It's out of Charleston, South Carolina. It's a tasty little beverage, I got to say.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
It's nice and smooth, not too much pop to it. I think it's a 4.8 or something. Yeah, I really like it. Yep, out of Charleston. Not bad.
All right.
Okay, we are drinking, Stuart and I are drinking a new Monday Night Brewery beer called Blind Pirate. It's a blood orange IPA. It's pretty good.
I've
it's
had that one.
Too much citrus, I think.
It's a little, yeah, it's a little sweet, but it's good. I enjoy it.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm. Is it really?
It's the opposite of yours.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was that strong.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hello, blind pirate.
I know. That's what makes you blind.
Like, oh, this is going to be fun.
Well, blind by the end of the night.
And then I think Reagan has accompaniment to ours.
Yeah, I have Diver Down by Brew Hub. It's an Imperial Red Ale at 8%. So
nice.
I'm good.
Yay.
Yeah. And honestly, I like it. It's quite strong, but, you know, compares with the Scottish beers. So
yeah,
it's okay.
Right. Exactly.
She's drinking us under the table tonight.
That's right.
Yes.
That's not hard.
All right. So we're going to cover Fear the Walking Dead, Season 5, Episode 2, The Hurt That Will Happen. So what'd you guys think?
I thought it was a pretty slow episode. Second week in a row when I started watching it the second time, I fell asleep through part of it.
That's not good.
No, it's not really. It's not really grasping my attention too much yet. I wasn't really big on the Strand Daniel thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just wasn't buying into it. But I might later. I mean, it's just maybe I just wasn't in the mood for it tonight. But
I'm glad they didn't draw that one out and they just went right into it.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, like at the start of the show, I thought like, oh, we're just going to sit there and wait until they finally meet up. But they finally just said, okay, let's get this out of the way and did it.
I to tell you the truth, I got a kind of a kick out of it. I thought it was kind of an interesting little piece that they put in there was Lucy on drugs. Was actually pretty funny.
That wasn't convincing to me at all.
Really?
That was silly.
I didn't have to. I think it was meant to be silly. That was pretty much what it was meant to be.
No, not like she's silly because she's on drugs. Silly because that was a silly premise.
Okay.
I just didn't think it worked.
I thought it was fine for comic relief.
Yeah, I thought
honestly,
I thought it was.
I enjoyed, like Scott saying, I kind of enjoyed that it was just a silly, stupid thing, and it also it kind of gave a little bit more dimension to her character than she has.
Right,
because she has
maybe
none.
That's why it wasn't convincing, because she just sounded the same as regular Lucy.
Well, she did, but anyway, I thought that was kind of humorous, and I kind of enjoyed it, to tell you the truth.
You know, I like it too. I thought the episode was good, but I'm not sure that they're playing the whole radioactive thing very well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I don't know if it. I guess I should say that I don't think that whole thing is playing very well,
right?
And written out very well. It seems kind of ham-handed
mm-hmm.
in how they're dealing with it, and. You know, it's a storyline that I think we've all said, well, it seems like low-hanging fruit kind of idea, like something that they probably should have dealt with early on.
Right.
But now they're just kind of, they're going to deal with it and then they're going to move on. And I feel like it's like, okay, we've dealt with it and it's really not going to have any real bearing on the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we're already moving on from this character within, what is it, two episodes?
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. I mean, not completely, because they're still stuck in this realm with these other people that we don't know who they are.
Right. Yeah, that's a whole different storyline there. But yeah, the radiation woman is pretty much kaput now.
Well, I, just like last week, this episode just, I don't know, it just didn't do it for me. It was meh. And, like, I like the premise of having the radioactive zombies and the meltdown and all that, mm-hmm. what happens with it. But I think they executed it all wrong. And the woman who supposedly is in charge of all that, like, is so unbelievable to me in every shape and form. What?
I was going to say, I think it's the inconsistency with how they deal with it. Because she kind of shows up on the scene and she's freaked out about how... you know, they might have come in contact with these zombies that had radiation on them. But then when she runs out of water, it's not like she's trying to decontaminate anybody else.
Like, I don't understand how, if she has to wear the white suit, the decontamination suit, right? Why does no one else have to wear it?
Yeah, why doesn't she have suits for everybody else?
Like, I think we're learning from Chernobyl that you don't have to touch somebody, right? Like, it's not...
Right, to spread, spread the radioactive dust or whatever. So it's, yeah, I mean, it's a physical thing that has to actually be spread around.
Yeah, it has to be in the air.
Yes, it has to be in the air.
So, but still...
So like when you burn the bodies and things like that and put the radiation in the air.
Right, but so that area should be contaminated. So if that area is contaminated and they're swimming around in the muck, like they're doing, and then killing people and stuff's getting everywhere, why are our people not in danger?
Well, I think they are in danger. I think that's why they were having that whole issue with trying to pick out which was the radioactive zombie when they were killing that pile of zombies that were falling in the mud pit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Alicia couldn't just kill that one. She was holding it at bay while they figured out which one was the radioactive one.
Yeah,
she didn't want to get radioactive material all over.
But she was putting a lot of emphasis on, like, you know, making sure that Morgan was cleaned off and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But yet she was still handling stuff with that same outfit that she was wearing that she kept putting on. And she wasn't. It wasn't like she was decontaminating herself.
Well, no one said she was good at her job.
I'm just saying.
That's why everybody was dead.
I think it was just inconsistencies in the visuals. And that's another good point, is like, why is she the only one that has had no real physical issues? Yes, she did say by the end of it that she was exposed, but yet there's like how many, like 100 and some people that she was working with that were dying?
63 or something.
Yeah, didn't she say something though about she was somewhere else when the reactor went, and she went back in to take care of them or whatever, and that's when she got irradiated?
I don't remember that part.
I guess so.
Well, she talked about she went back in there and she was careful, but she still got irradiated. So I guess that's when she was going. She was somewhere else at the time, or in another room or something.
But it is funny that this is on at the same time that Chernobyl's on, because I feel like everybody is like comparing notes now. Like, nobody believes fear, but we're going to believe Chernobyl. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Well, I mean, okay, there was other silly things. Like when, I mean, she was talking to June and them, and she said...
I don't get it.
And she said, did you guys inhale? And they're like, no, we didn't inhale.
What?
Like, how the hell would you not? They're like, oh, yeah, we are upwind of it or whatever. It's like,
oh, I thought you meant they had weed or something.
Yeah, exactly. I did not inhale.
But I didn't inhale. I do not know that woman. Oh, my God. We've gone off on a tangent.
Yes.
I actually would have liked to have seen at least something with the plant to give it some relevance.
Yeah.
You know, but
show us the hole where it exploded.
Yeah. But then again, you know, that place would be so irradiated, our gang would be killed real fast, I would imagine. So it makes sense that they're miles away from it. Still, it just was hard to. I think they needed more than just one person from the plant alive.
I agree, because I don't believe that she's the only person who survived. And I mean, I think my problem is, like, there's this whole other group that we don't know anything about, but yet that they're stringing these zombie heads from the trees. So there's like zombie heads from the trees, I'm telling Reagan, and they're like,
yes,
chomping. Yeah. And then somebody else strung like a group of zombies across the street and blocked the street, but they had their intestines like tied around their neck. It was crazy.
Actually, yes.
Crazy cool. Okay, so there's this whole other group that's really out
gross.
There.
It's yeah, it's gross. Crazy, crazy cool.
There's this whole other group out there, but they're still able to in the red zone. You know what I'm saying?
But she blows that off too. She's like, oh yeah, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. Those people are crazy.
Yeah, like,
she doesn't know who they are though.
I know, but it's the same thing like the kids were saying. Like, oh yeah, we don't know who those people are.
Like, yeah, but how do you not know who those people are?
That's what I'm saying. Like, if these people
are... Yeah, the whole premise of this thing is quite silly. To tell
yes,
you the truth.
It is.
That's the point, Scott.
Well, I'm glad you finally got around to it, because I think you bored our listeners long enough waiting for you to get to the point, Stuart.
No, I think we needed to have you kind of, you know, come to
wrap it
on
up
your
and
own.
Wrap it up and bring it all together for you. Tie it up in a bow.
Wow, somebody is... feeling their oats tonight.
That's right.
I just don't believe any of it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's. I agree with you, Kim. I think the first thing you said is actually the most important part. It's a cool premise, but they blew it in the way they presented it.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think they did that with a lot of things during this episode.
Right, but that's what I mean. All three of those different premises are actually pretty interesting.
Right.
But when you pull them all together like they're doing, it's kind of silly. I mean, these people are all trapped in a small area. It's not a big area.
Mm.
And yet they don't see each other and so forth.
Well, and that's the other thing. They are trapped. They know that there's like, well, you can't go this way, you can't go that way. And somehow this woman who's going around cleaning up the zombies has not run across these kids who are also within the same area avoiding these fences. They all know to stay away from the fences, but they don't know about each other. So
exactly.
It doesn't.
And then you have the third group, but we don't really know what their number is. But
third
no one
and
knows
fourth
about
group,
that.
Probably.
Yeah.
But they're set up as like the big bad, the new big bad.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing, too, is just I know I keep harping on this lady. I can't even remember her name. But the way she's so businesslike when she encounters everybody, and there's no fear in her.
Grace.
There's no fear in her of, like, what they could do to her. I guess at that point, if she's irradiated?
Uh-huh.
Irradiated.
She's super rad.
If she's irradiated and she knows she's going to die eventually, she probably has nothing to worry about. But in my mind, if I'm in her
situation... Then why is she still wearing the damn suit?
No. But if I'm in her situation... Well, that's true. Good point. If I'm in her situation, though, and I come across another group, my first inclination is going to be like, oh, God, what are they going to do to me? What's their goal for being out here, and how are they going to harm me? But there's none of that for her. She's just like, business, matter of fact, yeah. We got to clean this up.
Well, she's got a mission.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got a mission. It doesn't involve any of these other people. Her mission is strictly to hunt down all the people she irradiated and knock them off so they don't hurt anybody else.
Well, that is another one that I'm maybe a little annoyed by, is why is she the only one that's allowed to kill them? And when I say that, not mm-hmm. that she's the only one who knows how to kill them, but when she's with Alicia and them, they stay from killing the one that is...
Irradiated.
Irradiated.
Because she uses her gun. She does it from a distance. they're coming up and chopping people up with their knives and stuff like that, but she shoots the irradiated ones.
Okay.
That's why she had the gun, and she kept saying, give me my gun, because that's how she dispatches them.
So she's hoping the goop doesn't get on her.
Right. She's keeping her distance. So that's why she told no one else to do that with the irradiated ones.
Okay, so here's another question. How many years into the future is it? Like, how many years is the apocalypse? I asked you
last week, and we couldn't figure it out.
Right. Four. So doesn't a...
Just throwing it out there.
It's much longer than that. But
72 five. Years.
Nonetheless, how long does it take a nuclear power plant to melt down if there's no electricity to cool the water?
Oh, that could take within minutes.
So it's been how many years is what I'm saying?
No, but she explained, though, that she kept it running.
Mm-hmm.
That they kept it running because they were expecting that they would be able to get the power grid back, and that they wanted to keep the plant running so that they could rebuild with the plant.
How do you keep it running, though, if there's no electricity?
Well, the plant makes electricity.
Yeah.
It's a nuclear power plant.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
That's kind of the point.
But they have a whole bunch of big batteries.
Ding, 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 ding.
But she's, it's probably,
they got a they got a hamster and a wheel.
I'm guessing solar. I'm guessing they're using solar power.
That little guy's tired.
Oh my! Yes,
the hamster died, and they had to abandon the plant.
Okay.
No, but she did. She admitted that her fault was keeping this thing running. That thinking that society would actually come back to normal. Right. And they would need the power. So we don't know how long it actually went on, but obviously it broke down a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
If you got all these guys wandering around with boils all over their faces and stuff.
Right.
By the way, Reagan, you should watch it. They have boils all over their faces. It's crazy.
They ooze and goose.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. It's like Scott in the morning.
I do. I'm oozing and boozing in the morning all the time.
Before he puts his face on.
That's right. Oh, my poor wife and the horror she has to witness.
Well, another thing that I found highly unbelievable is when they left Luciana by herself to deal with this.
Drugged up with a gun?
Wound. She had an arrow, or not an arrow. So she had a piece of metal go through her shoulder. Mm-hmm. So she has a huge wound on her. And they've done surgery and all that stuff, but
she's on big time painkillers.
Major.
She sees the Care Bears.
They leave her alone in this truck stop by herself with one gun. She's got one operating arm, and the other one does not work. And then she decides, I'm going to go outside and investigate this scary sound that I heard.
She was drugged up.
It's just stupid.
Well, the antenna went out because she was talking to Strand on the
right. So she was trying to find out what happened.
Yes, but on the CB.
No, the stupid part. The stupid part is they left her alone. I mean,
mm-hmm.
That's the stupid part, no doubt. Her going out and looking around and so forth isn't stupid. She was on drugs and she had lost her contact with Strand, so she was going out there to find out what the hell was the problem. And she found out the antenna fell off.
What was stupid was when all the walkers started coming towards her and she started walking at them to try and shoot them.
Why not run back into the building?
Yeah.
She was screwed up.
Maybe she thought one of them had an accordion.
Exactly. Or a sandwich. Maybe she thought it had a sandwich.
Possibly.
That looks like a ham and cheese sandwich in your hand. Oh no, it's a brain.
Oh my God.
For some reason, everything comes back to a ham and cheese sandwich for Scott.
It does. Every time.
Okay.
So, does anybody have anything positive to say about the episode?
Not really.
I did think Lucy on drugs was funny.
Yeah.
Okay. There's the positive.
Daniel, I was kind of happy to see Daniel, but again, I don't believe the way that he came back into our lives.
I like the fact that Skidmark was the cat.
I do too.
Not sure why Skidmark was the cat. The cat had a bell on it.
Because the bell was to attract the walker so that they fall on the spikes.
Yeah.
Like a bear bell.
Yeah.
I think you're guessing at that.
No, I think he's right.
I'm not. He was on a leash. He was supposed to come and he was supposed to attract the walkers into the spikes.
Was he on a leash? I didn't even see the leash.
I didn't see he was on a leash.
He was on a rope or something.
Okay. Maybe a bit of Walker intestine?
Possibly, but he would have eaten that.
It could be.
Okay.
He would have eaten that.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Hungry cat would eat that. That's for sure.
But no, I just think it's highly unbelievable that... Let me say that again.
Unbelievable.
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 Shut up.
Just unbelievable.
It is highly unbelievable that he would come back into the world the way he did. Like, okay, Al found him and interviewed him and videotaped him. Okay, fine. Whatever. I can believe that. But... the fact that he came back after, we don't even know how long it's been since the dam blew up.
It's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, it has to have been a couple of years now, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
And then he just happens to show up, like, where we need him to be at that time. It's just...
Well, it's funny, because he does actually acknowledge that. Because he says to Strand, he goes, wow, small world.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, when he was talking about him knowing Al...
Yeah.
And it's awesome that both our group and Daniel have found individual people that have had stockpiles of stuff.
Yep. And airplanes.
Yeah.
Workable airplanes.
And just conveniently both get offed.
Well, I wonder if that was the stuff from the crime kingpin that they knocked off at the dam.
Right, right.
If
that's
that
a good
his
point.
Stuff that he inherited.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. But
what do you think, Reagan?
It sounds very complex.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Uh-huh. It is very complex.
I enjoyed when Strand actually went up and found Daniel, where Strand was talking the entire time, and Daniel said, "You still talk too much."
Yeah, I thought that was a great line. Yeah. Actually, I did crack up.
He's like, "Just get in here. It's not safe to talk out there."
Exactly, and he's like, well, you do have new hair.
So, I mean, getting to that through their whole interaction there, obviously Daniel doesn't trust him,
right.
Which no one probably should, even after everything we've seen through from the character. So, do you think Daniel's actually going to go try and save these people on his own, and just got Strand out of there because he knows Strand's always a negative influence?
I kind of do, but the problem is that how does he know where they are?
Right.
Without Strand.
No, this is why I'm not happy with this episode, because...
Well, he was able to contact him with the CB. Maybe he thinks he can contact him again.
Right, and that's true. I mean, he could be... I mean, he definitely did look a little shook when he found out that Madison was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he definitely did believe. He's like, yeah, these people are in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... Okay, so the thing that irritates me, and I understand that he's coming back into this not knowing what has happened, how things have progressed with Strand and all the other people. But we're rehashing once again that Strand is untrustworthy.
Has been untrustworthy.
Exactly. And that he talks too much. Like, all that stuff.
That
is
he has to reprove himself.
We have to redo that again. We did that 2 seasons ago. Like, can we please just move on? I understand we have to prove it to him, but please don't dwell on it. Because mm-hmm. I'm tired of that.
Which is why I said at the start, it was great that they actually just said, okay, you know, we saw Daniel's back. Let's go ahead and go right into that in the next episode and deal with it. But, yeah, I mean, it hasn't, the story hasn't played out enough now. So it's probably going to develop even more.
It will develop even more because he kicked Strand out. So he's going to go and try to help him.
And they're going to get back together.
And Strand's going to be still out there on his own, and then Strand will come back for whatever reason, and then he and Daniel will kiss and make up.
Exactly. Same always.
Yes, it will be adorable.
Yeah. But that's what's irritating about
this
episode.
The adorableness of the episode?
Is that they're rehashing the exact same relationship?
Everything.
I know. Well, hey. It was definitely gonna revolve around something that happened in the past with them anyway. If Daniel was coming back into the show,
mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't Morgan, who just shows up out of the blue that we know from another show. This is Daniel, who's been on the show before, who has a past history of this. So the past history is gonna be brought back up.
Well, and Daniel doesn't know Morgan yet, right? He hasn't met him.
No,
no,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be
or any of the people. He just knows Strand and Alicia.
Yep.
I was going to say that's going to be an interesting matchup, but in a way, I don't know if it really will be. Daniel and Morgan.
I don't know.
Well, Daniel doesn't trust anybody, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Please. We'll see how that goes. John Dory's probably going to be like, man, that guy's a jerk.
Yeah. Yes, he has a lot to offer to the conversation. Kind of like me.
Conversation with Alicia. Where Morgan was rehashing stuff that we've already been through before, right?
Yeah.
What did you think about that conversation? I think that's the one I fell asleep on when I was watching the episode again. I mean, in all honesty. Because I think we've heard that conversation like 20 times now, haven't we?
Yeah. Like well, last week.
I think the part that was annoying me from that was the fact that here he is, the all-knowing person that's supposed to be leading. He's trying to lead her through not connecting with people, and yet he's done this once or twice of like completely going into his kill everything zone, and that's what's actually led him out west.
Mm-hmm.
Is because he got away from Rick and their group again because
he has breaks. He has breaks from reality, and that's why we always kind of chuckled. The one thing I've learned this season is I really feel like Morgan's a much better as a secondary character than a primary character because of the fact that we know he's a kook in the background. I mean, it's the same way.
He's unstable.
And it's the same way I used to get so frustrated when they brought out Crazy Rick and had him going along with his wet, shaky hair. And going nuts on people. And then all of a sudden he's the leader of the community. I'm like, I don't remember that.
Yeah. How do they trust him when he's so unstable?
Yep.
And
we know that about Morgan.
Well, and they don't know. I mean, they don't know. Right. We know that, but they don't know Morgan's past on that. But yet he feels as though he is, the
Well, he also feels compelled to tell them about it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, but he feels like, oh, okay, well, I'm the one that's in control enough that I can then share this with Alicia. When you know, and we've dealt with him in many times in the past, where he knew he was so out of control that he had to get away from
He's
going to
start clearing again.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes.
And so he recognizes she's in this zone, but he's going to bring her out of that.
Right.
Somehow.
And, which is all well and good, but geez, man, I mean, I'm getting tired of these conversations.
Well, I guess part of the question I have is when he starts talking about how he had to find the open door and save himself and start opening up to people, was that back when during The Walking Dead or was that when Al found him? Mm. Like when is he actually talking
about?
It was when
Al found him because remember he didn't want to have anything to do with anybody when Al found him.
But when Rick found him the second or third time when in The Walking Dead, I mean he was in the same position.
But I think he was referring, though, to when Al found him, because he didn't even want to have anything to do with her at the time, remember? And she convinced him to communicate with him. And I think that's what he's talking about. You know, he was in a bad place when he ran into her. Morgan goes to a bad place a lot of times. We know that. I really hope they don't take him there in this series, too. There's no need for it. It gets old.
And the other thing that is a little unfortunate is that Al has become completely inconsequential in this season. Sure. In last season as well. I mean, they keep trying to stoke the fire on that being her being an important character.
Well, I think, Stu,
it's like with the airplane thing.
I disagree with you a little bit. Only in that... the intriguing part of it was that she was starting to bite on a story. And that's getting back to the Al that we were introduced to originally. She's a reporter. So I thought it was good that they were showing her, being a detective, in essence, trying to figure out what's going on. And then they turn around and have her get her kidnapped. But anyway, I did think that was kind of good that they were giving her back that piece again.
You can agree.
I agree.
Here we are on point counterpoint.
Are we good for a break now?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll be back in a minute. Break.
Do you fear this man's invention that they call atomic power? We all in great confusion, do we know time or hour? When a terrible explosion may rain down upon our land, leaving horrible destruction, blotting out the works of man. Are you ready for that great atomic power? Will you rise and meet your savior in the air?
Will you shout? All right, everybody, we're back. And we're going to jump right into our hit or miss segment. And I'm going to take us out of the gate.
Perfect.
How about that?
Yep.
All right.
Unfair.
What?
Totally unfair.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to try and steal mine. I know you are.
That's very true. There's a very big possibility. Matter of fact, Stu, I have two. I'm only going to read one, just in case the other one's yours.
Okay,
and,
thank you.
And it's the one that I've already said, which is I thought my hit was Lucy's Drug-Addled Mind.
Ah, see?
Oh,
that was mine. Yes.
Okay, hold on. We'll do it again.
No. Keep going. That's fun.
And why don't I do the other one I have?
No, you will do the other one you have after Kim does her fifth or sixth hit. You're completely fine. Still going. I think we're still recording here.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
That I just thought that was very humorous. I enjoyed it, and that's kind of my hit of the show this week.
Mine very similarly, but mine was just the simple fact that she kept saying accordion.
Yes.
Because it was very random.
Yes, it was very, very well brought up several times.
Yes, I think she brought up three times. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was awesome. And I thought it was
great. Yeah, I liked her answer was, she says, do you play the accordion? No, but I was thinking I'd like to learn how.
Yeah, and she says, the accordion is from the drugs? She says, yes. June was like, yes, it's from the drugs. So, I mean, it was random enough that they're like, yeah, that's from the drugs.
Exactly. And then she brings it up with Strand on the phone when he's like, she's like, yes, they've gone out there and I've been injured and so forth. And I'm going to have to do something about the accordion.
She was talking to Morgan because Morgan was asking, had she heard from Strand? And they had just found another line of cars that was across the road or something like that.
Yep.
And she was like, and he was like, what was that? And she's like, nothing. Or she said something in Spanish. Which I don't know what Kim will have to translate.
I didn't hear anything.
Okay, well she said something in Spanish and then she's like, never mind. And he was like, copy.
Kimmy, what did you have?
You're to be surprised at this.
Oh no.
Don't build it up like that because I probably won't be.
For the first time in Fear Me history, I have zero hits.
You don't have any hits at all?
None.
Seriously?
At all. None.
Wow. None?
None.
You didn't. You didn't like this episode that much, or was it just you didn't have anything specific?
That it was bleh.
Really?
All right. Well, let's move on from Kim. Reagan, what was your hit?
I hit the cat. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Okay. Skid mark. Very good.
She's been listening.
And the best part is all this talking we've done, and the only thing she remembers is the damn cat.
I know. Which makes sense.
I have to say, my other hit was when Daniel shot the two shots out before he sent Strand out of the gates.
Yeah. Like, and, move along, little
dog. Yeah, he's like, and the next one's in your face.
Now, Kim, you did miss one, and this is a hit for you. I can't believe you didn't say this. Kim's hit for this week was the bird shit walker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Seriously, that was good.
That was actually very funny because I said something to Stuart about that. I was like, oh, did you see that?
They set up a trap for walkers by putting two birds in a cage and hanging it from a tree. And the walkers are underneath reaching up for the birds because they were making all this noise. And one just had all this bird shit all down his face.
That's true. That is very... Okay, thank you, Scott.
Yeah, that's a
That was a very good one.
Yeah.
I knew you would like that one.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Kim, you know, it's funny. I don't have a specific miss.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get into the episode. I would just say, in general, I just could not find myself getting too interested in the episode.
Same.
And I think you nailed it on the head. I'm just a little disappointed because the premises that they brought out, I thought were looking like they were going to be kind of interesting, and they're just kind of fizzling out or just too crowded together or something. I don't know.
It was just very unexciting for something that seemed like, it had some good, I don't know.
It could have been amazing.
Some good depth to it. Yeah. There was like nothing to it.
And we may be, two episodes from now talking about how fantastic it is and completely forgetting about the fact that we said this because it actually turns out to be a very interesting premise.
It's all presented as though it's like, here it is and now it's gone. Mm-hmm. Here it is and now it's gone in the past two episodes.
It just seems like they're just throwing us a storyline just to fill it until Dwight gets there. Like, I'm hoping in two episodes Dwight's here.
Yeah.
Well, and I think we got to give them, we got to give them the benefit of the doubt, though, because they are playing the mysterious unknown folks, kind of like they did with the wolves, and giving us little tidbits of them, and then we'll find out what they are. Fear writers, don't disappoint us.
Yeah,
we will rip you big time. If it's pretty lame.
Totally.
Well, honestly, I think part of to me that is really bothering me with this, and this is not my miss, is the fact that they just got dropped into into this space.
Yeah.
Because their airplane, which we didn't even know they had an airplane from last season. They were in an airplane and it crashes and they're dropped into space and now we're going to spend the rest of the season trying to figure out how they're getting out of the space that we didn't even know they were going to?
Pretty much.
Right.
I think, yes, we'll see.
It's very odd. They had like I said before, they had like the best place and then they decided to throw it all away because someone contacted them on the radio.
And then get trapped in a birdcage. Now, I don't think it's going to be the whole season on that because we still are going to be dealing with Max Headroom's character at some point with the mill and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, can I do my miss real quick?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm next.
Okay. So my miss, has everything to do with what we're talking about. Next. I'm sorry. We have, what, 5 different groups now that we're contending with?
72.
We have our main group. We have Max Headroom. We have the strung up walkers. We have the radioactive group. We have
the children.
The children. Forgot about them. And then the people who got
Daniel doesn't seem very friendly.
And now we've got Daniel. That's 6 right there. 6 different groups that have been introduced in 2 episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Police, are you kidding me?
Here's throwing it all out there, yes, and then the writer's going to be like,
what works.
We're going to see how we're going to take it after this.
Yeah. I just thought of this, though. We were introduced to a girl from the power plant, right?
Yeah.
But we assumed that the guy, the walker that was in the weird suit, had something to do with the radiation in the power plant, right?
No. I don't.
I think that has something to do with that other group that's stringing people.
I know. Yeah. Because that's one of their people's what grabbed Al. But I was thinking never mind. It's kooky.
It is, but there's just too many little pieces moving around the board right now.
Right. And again, we may find ourselves in 2 episodes going, oh, wow, they pulled that all together. Great.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm not seeing it.
Now, the interesting thing, though, is, like, I'm interested in about half of those groups. Like, the power plant people, I would be interested, but they did not do it correctly. The other ones, I'm very fascinated with.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what was the show Al was on before, the actress?
Lost.
Yes.
Lost.
Maggie Grace.
Do you feel like we're going down that road a little bit with all the shit that they're throwing out there?
Without the smoke monsters, that was
A little too more paranormal. Fanciful. Yeah, that was a little bit more fanciful.
But the radioactive anteater that they had?
Yeah.
I like the polar bear myself.
Same.
But nonetheless. I don't know where they're going with this. But I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they'll pull it together by the end. But right now, I'm just waiting for something to happen interesting.
And then
Lucy's going to be like, all of a sudden see like an accordion, like a caricature, like accordion, and be like,
I'm an accordion, why don't you play me? I would have loved it if they showed her through her eyes looking at a walker, and all of a sudden the walker became an accordion.
That would be awesome. And she's went like, to play it.
Oh, come here,
But no, and then we still have Dwight, like I said, to deal with at some point in this season.
It's probably going to be a while. And I think they're going to lay that one till later.
And like, we know he's coming, but when is he coming and how?
And why do we even know it's gonna be he's a while. Coming? I mean, that's...
Right. Why did they tell us that he was that's coming?
The carrot at the end of the
story. It's frustrating. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's my miss.
Okay. Oh, my miss was Scott, completely. My miss was just how they were dealing with the radiation and the reactor. And like I had said at the very beginning, it just seems inconsistent with, the danger factor of, you know, what we're dealing with, like the walkers and, and you know, how dangerous this stuff is being contracted, spread around between people. Because it's like, okay, I'm going to, like, wash everybody. I'm going to wash you off, Morgan. But now I'm out of water, so, I can't really do anything else. Did you inhale it? Did you rub around in the ash?
That was just a way to get Morgan naked.
Yeah, maybe so.
Well, it was to get you hooked on the there's radiation in the area storyline. You know, because we've all seen the movies where you're supposed to go into the scrubbers and get all this stuff. So that's, they were just...
But she had, like the tarps out all over the place for, like, where they're going to fall down. Yeah, they're like rolling around on all the tarps.
Exactly.
So it's like, okay.
Silly.
So you're all getting it all over you anyways. So
again, silly. I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. She never said she was good.
No.
And that's why everybody in the plant died.
Yep. Yeah,
that's very true.
Yep.
And I'm still trying to figure out, did you guys see anything on the little things they were carrying? Dosimeters? Did you actually see that it said, like, maybe, I don't know, Too much radiation.
No. Yeah. Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
She kept looking at him intently, and it was like, oh, yeah, well, that's bad.
Well,
it was just like, but you couldn't see anything on any of them. It was just like...
I think we were just supposed to assume that they know what they're looking for.
I want to know what they're looking for.
Sue, it's assuming.
I don't assume anything, because that makes an ass out of you and me.
Too late.
All right, well, let's go to some listener comments about the episode.
Chris at CutePoison10 said, I'm still waiting for Dwight.
Thank you.
Nuclear stuff is boring. It's not Chernobyl. What about Morgan's stick? It could have been cleaned, but it's just a stick. Which it sounds very dirty when I'm saying it. Which apparently can now kill walkers through the chest? What the hell happened to headshots? Podcast better than the show.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
Very nice.
Thanks, Chris. You know what, though? Morgan's stick is made out of wood. So, of course, he can't get it back. That makes sense.
You know,
wood absorbs radiation.
I have to say, though, it seemed kind of childlike that he kept... He even referred to it as his stick.
Where's my
Instead
point?
Of, like, his... You know, it's his staff Spear. Or whatever.
Don't say staff.
No, I think... I actually kind of like the way he refers to it like that. He's not being too formal about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Can I have my stick back? No, you cannot have your stick back.
That's okay. Very funny. All right, Reagan's going to help us out with these.
Okay, Undead Walking at Undead Walking FS said, it raises a really important issue that no one has addressed yet. What happened to the nuclear plants in the apocalypse? This is one story.
Exactly.
Agreed. Yeah. That's why
so
I think
many.
It's a, yeah, well, I think that's why this is an interesting premise. I just don't think it's being carried out very well. But they're exactly right. You know, nuclear plants. They're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Nuclear pants.
Yes.
Addicted to You at Rennie89 said, I was very excited to see Daniel Salazar back in Fear of the Walking Dead. And reunite with Strand. Hope Daniel will change his mind and will help our people. Can't wait for episode 3 and Dwight. Yeah, totally.
David Valentin at DV Orlando said, so far is meh. For me, you know, same tired old formula. Number one, moral dilemma. Number two, saving people that do not want to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, big bad. Just sent this guy on a collision course to Alexandria and be done with it. TWD and FTW have overstayed their welcome.
Wow.
Let's wrap it up already.
Why do you keep watching David? Because he's been saying this for at least a whole season.
Well, that's his, you know, that's his white whale.
So I'm curious, David, if you're going to watch the third spinoff, or, you know, the third show, mm-hmm. and if you're going to stick around for that. Are you sticking around because you love us? I think that's why he is.
So the third one is the one that's going to be in Gastonia, North Carolina, right?
Yeah.
Bunch of rednecks on the road?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be hilarious? They'd be like...
That'd be scary as hell.
Cletus, give me a beer. Cletus, give him a rifle.
I would be much more scared of the rednecks than I would be of the dead people.
Always.
That's damn sure. Yeah.
But let's make sure that everybody understands that we live amongst them.
Oh, no. Yeah, I have friends from Gastonia, but you keep your enemies close.
Mm-hmm. They're not really enemies, though. They'll help you if they have the opportunity.
I mean, you gotta keep some, yeah, I mean, people gotta know, you know, what to do in those situations.
And they're pretty good because they can, like, you know.
Oh, just... they would last longer than me in the apocalypse.
Totally.
They
can skin a deer, get a hog for you. There's all kinds of.
It's dark out, and I can't see my book.
All right.
My electric toothbrush doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, I think you're in a different category there, buddy.
Yeah, I'm a dead man. I'm pre-walker already.
Okay, so FanMom at FanMomAF said, I still love TWD, but fear it not grabbing me so far this season.
Agreed.
We'll just have to see, all right? We'll just have to see. I thought the first half of it grabbed us pretty well.
The first half?
Or the second half of last season, I should say. Excuse me.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I think, we'll just have to see.
I mean, it's not horrible. I still love
the
characters.
It's only the second episode.
I know.
If we get around to the fourth or fifth episode and we're still snoring through parts of the show, then we should really, really complain.
I don't know if it's coming across, but I actually do enjoy the show.
It's not coming across.
Okay. Not at all.
I do. I like the show. It's good.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
I like it too. Yeah, it's just weak right now.
I'm extremely critical. That's just that's who I am.
That's who y'all, all of us are.
We all are pretty very
critical. Right.
If we weren't, this would be an incredibly boring show and last about 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's
for reals.
Because that would be all of us talking about beer and then there'd be nothing else to talk about.
All right. Squawking Dead, who I guess is a new listener. Hi, Squawking Dead.
Which is another podcast, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Nice.
Cool. Awesome. Said, love how it's shaping up. Their premise is a classic good intentions, but it is obviously meant to be challenged over the course of the season. It's looking more like a, quote, how can you expect to save others if you aren't willing to save yourselves, unquote, situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or your swelves.
Or your swelves.
Yeah, I mean, exactly, and I think maybe we're bombing on it too much at the moment. Let's see what happens in a couple episodes, and then we can really lay into it. Right now, it's just kind of slow.
Well, no, I think right now they threw a bunch of dice on the table, and we have to see what happens.
Yeah, how it all falls out.
Yep.
And I think, and we're probably disappointed because one of the dice was a dud.
Yeah. And I think. You know, I mean, from the writer's standpoint, I think they threw a bunch of content down, and because they're like, okay, we have a series of avenues that we can take the storyline now,
mm-hmm.
which is this show has done all the time.
Yeah,
I mean, that's they've been doing that forever, The Walking Dead and Fear of the Walking Dead.
But the problem with that is that it seems kind of lazy,
because
it seems like they don't really know where they're taking the show. But you know.
Well, but you could look at it another way. You could look at it as they've thrown a bunch of premises out there. Which one's going to be the interesting one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have several interesting ones on the table.
Or they know which are the interesting ones. They're just trying to confuse you.
No, they want you to wonder which ones are the interesting ones.
I want it. Well, is it going to be a choose your own adventure?
Oh, that would be fun. That would be super fun.
Nice.
Yes.
That would be nice.
Yeah. Everybody vote. Everybody vote.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm going for owls, people.
I don't even know if Reagan knows Choose Your Own Adventure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not that young, I guess.
How young are you? How young are you? What is your age?
21.
21, oh you guys.
God. That's right. Drink up, young lady.
Yep. Give that girl a beer.
It is quite weird to be sitting here drinking a beer with you, I must say. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
next week on Fear the Walking Dead, Season 5, Episode 3, Humbug's Gulch. June and Dory. Name. Yeah, really. June and Dory take shelter to hide from a threat, but a misunderstanding with a desperate survivor leads to trouble. Meanwhile, Alicia and Morgan face a dangerous obstacle. Who's the desperate survivor that leads to trouble?
Probably a June new person.
Now, where did we leave June and Dory? Were they still in the camp, right?
Yeah, but everybody's with them now.
Yeah, right.
So, okay. I don't think, they're not on their own at this point.
So we haven't seen this
character yet. But they were trying to find the kids. That was like a main thing that they were trying to do.
Exactly. That's what got them at Camp Cuyahoga or whatever it was.
June was unexpectedly excited about the car that they found. They were like, and it can fit kids. Remember that?
It was
kind of weird. It was like, all right.
Yeah.
That's a weird focus.
She's like all of a sudden very motherly.
Yeah, which I don't like any vehicle where I could fit kids. That means that I have to drive them around.
That's true.
Yes.
Listen to them argue.
Mm-hmm.
Which these three kids, the sister seems to argue a lot. We don't need any of that.
You don't want bratty kids?
No.
Well, they actually seem more mature than the people that we're dealing with in the show.
They certainly knew how to deal with things better.
Yes, they did. Much, much better.
Actually, I kind of like the kids, to tell you the truth.
I did too.
I do. I mean, yeah, they're good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Kim is wrong. That's what we're,
yes,
we're agreeing on that. Okay, Kim is wrong.
Drive those kids around, Stu.
On that,
bring them out.
Well, we want to say thank you to our niece Reagan
sitting in through the whole thing.
Yes, you're welcome. Thanks for sitting in, even though you know nothing about the show or our podcast. Mm-hmm. So that was awesome.
Thank you for playing along at home.
Yes, very amazing. If you'd like to write to us, you can reach us at fearmepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at fearmepodcast and on Facebook at facebook.com/fearmepodcast. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.